Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. Today, we're going to be interviewing Martin Eder, the Executive Director of Activist San Diego and the person whose vision and leadership brought about the founding of KNSJ Radio. We'll also have some Super Bowl Sunday tips for you, including ideas on alternatives if you don't want to watch the big game. We'll be bringing you highlights from the State of the County address, including some big things coming up that are going to impact East County. Plus, we'll have a tribute to the legendary Pete Seeger. You'll also hear about a standout athlete at San Diego State University and a health report on how a $6 million cardiac care unit in East County is giving patients a new lease on life. We'll tell you about an appointment by Pope Francis right here in East County's Chaldean community. Our Destination East County segment will fill you in on some amazing events coming up. Plus, we'll share some exciting news about an international award being presented to East County Magazine. So stay tuned. We hope you'll enjoy today's show. This weekend is Super Bowl Sunday. If you're not a sports fan or you just can't bear to watch the Super Bowl without the Chargers in it, the county has some tips on 10 things to do in San Diego County instead of watching the Super Bowl this Sunday. While the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks duke it out on the freezing cold field in New Jersey this Sunday, San Diego County residents can soak up the sunny weather and take advantage of some county activities that totally trump those TV touchdowns. Whether you love hiking, biking, or just exploring San Diego, there's plenty to do across the county this weekend. All events take place on Sunday, and most of them are free or minimal cost.
Number one, ready, set, hike. While the centers of the Broncos and the Seahawks are hiking balls, you can be hiking a trail. There are plenty of county trails to choose from, but this time of the year is ideal for taking a day trip to Anza Borrego's Agua Caliente Regional Park. You can take a guided 1.5-mile marsh trail hike that begins at 10 a.m., plus soak in the geothermally heated pool afterward to soothe those muscles.
Number two, tackle. Round up the family and head to Lake Morena County Park in Campo for some great fishing. The park offers weekend fishing opportunities. Due to the current water conditions, no personal watercraft may be launched, but you can rent float tubes, canoes, and kayaks, and motorized boats.
Number three, foul. Forget watching men in helmets throw around a ball. Grab your binoculars and head to the San Diego Botanical Gardens in Encinitas for some bird watching. You can download a bird watching checklist and make a day of it.
Number four, extra point, adopt a pet. You can look through adoptable animals online or visit one of the county shelters to check out Pets of the Week and give one of these loving animals its forever home.
Number five, scrimmage game. Why watch football when you can play? Set up a scrimmage game at the county park nearest you. Find a full list of the parks online and get playing.
Number six, kickoff concerts. Fred Beneditti and George Svoboda, also known as the Two Guitars, are kicking off the Sunday concert series at the Vista Library Sunday afternoon from 1:30 to 2:30. The Encinitas Library will also be celebrating the day with Cajun New Orleans-style jazz from 2 to 3, or take in Jeff Berkeley's concert, marking the 250th acoustic showcase at the Fallbrook Library.
Number seven, cheap shot. The football players may be getting their cheap shots in on Sunday, but you can get your own cheap shots at Flynn Springs in El Cajon on Old Highway 80 at the free Knowing Your Camera photo class from 3 until 4:30. Bring your camera and wear your hiking gear and learn how to capture waterfalls and slow shutter speed and get great macro shots of insects galore.
Number eight, rollout. Wheel your way along the coast, break out the bike, and ride it along the Bayshore Bikeway. It's okay to feel smug about our weather while those football players are utilizing hand warmers.
Number nine, game plan. While everyone is sitting at home, the stores out there are crowd-free. So take advantage. Make a disaster plan with your family. Purchase emergency supplies. Bonus, no waiting in line. And download the San Diego Emergency app for good measure.
Number 10, wild card. Get a free history lesson in on Sunday instead of sitting in front of the tube with a docent-led tour at Los Peñasquitos Canyon Preserve and Ranch House at 1 o'clock. You'll get to visit the historic Johnson Taylor Adobe and learn what cultures, people, and architecture shaped San Diego. Bonus, bring your running gear and you can jog around the trail before or after the tour, getting your own workout. So whatever you do this Super Bowl Sunday, have a great time.
The Sheriff's Department plans to execute a winning game plan with increased DUI patrols across the county to stop drunk drivers on Super Bowl Sunday, the biggest day of the year for football fans. Increased DUI patrols by deputies will start at 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 2nd, and continue through 5 a.m. on Monday. More alcohol-related car crashes happen on Super Bowl Sunday in California than any other Sunday in January and February, according to the Automobile Club of Southern California. Sheriff Gore advises, wherever you decide to watch the Super Bowl, remember not to drink and drive. If you do drink alcohol, have a designated driver ready or call a taxi to take you home. Remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you are having a Super Bowl viewing party, be aware of San Diego County's social host ordinance. Anyone caught serving alcohol to a minor will be arrested and booked into jail. You can report underage drinking by calling the Sheriff's Department non-emergency line at 858-565-5200. You can also learn more about your responsibility on the Sheriff's Department's website at social host webpage. Funding for the Super Bowl Sunday DUI patrols is provided by a grant from the California Office of Traffic Safety through the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. This has been Leon Thompson for East County Magazine.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Leon Thompson reporting for the Green Scene for East County Magazine. Some very exciting news. East County Magazine has won an international award, and I'm here with editor Miriam Raftery to tell us all about it. Miriam, can you share the details of your latest award?
Well, I sure can. We received an international award for our environmental reporting, and it's from the World Council for Nature. Now, Mark Duchamp is the chairman, and the World Council for Nature is headquartered in Spain, but they cover global issues, and he wrote in an email to us that the work you do for informing people of threats against nature in your county is commendable, and we wish to honor your publication with our award for 2013. And those threats against nature locally, of course, have come largely from this barrage of industrial-scale energy projects in the San Diego County region.
So, what's your reaction to this good news?
Well, we're thrilled to get this international recognition for our efforts to educate the public on the dangers that some of these so-called green projects in our region pose to wildlife and the environment. You know, I believe it's important to address climate change, of course. That's my degree, is in environmental studies. But the priority should be given to projects with the least negative environmental impacts, such as solar on roofs and parking lots and urban areas of peak demand, instead of these industrial-scale wind and solar facilities that devastate our mountain, desert, and wetland.
So what are some of the problems with these projects locally and nationally?
It all starts with these federal subsidies, such as the wind production tax credit and other subsidies for solar, and it's structured so that they reward a bigger is better mentality while they're disregarding the impacts these projects have on human health and wildlife, habitat, and Native American sacred sites, scenic views, and even the severe fire danger that a lot of these projects posed. There really are cleaner, greener solutions for reducing our carbon footprint. For example, what if we invest more in mass transit, retrofitting our buildings for energy efficiency? And solar is great if it's on roofs and parking lots or maybe in industrially zoned areas like Otay Mesa. You know, I'm all for individual vertical access windmills and biofuels and energy conservation, but Unfortunately, a lot of our politicians seem to have what I call green blinders on, and they're just pushing forward these things that literally are blowing up mountains and bulldozing our meadows and our wetlands and our deserts.
Oh, we're thankful for all that reporting. But how many awards has East County Magazine won by now?
Well, this one is our 59th major award that we've received since we started in 2008. And, of course, we're a publication of the nonprofit Heartland Coalition and sister organization of United Green, which is all about promoting sustainability. So a lot of our awards have been for environmental reporting, the Saul Price Award for Responsible Journalism. Many of those big awards came for the reporting we've done on these very same issues.
Can you give us some background on how our region would be targeted for so many big energy projects?
It all started with the designation as a federal energy corridor, and San Diego was one of the very first to get this designation under the Bush-Cheney administration. A couple of oil guys, you know, oil executives there.
Of course.
Pushing it forward at the time for the big oil and gas projects to be able to hook up to power lines everywhere and strengthen the electrical grid. And under the Obama administration, this continued, only he's pushing forward the big industrial wind and solar projects primarily. Our region really is one of the first to have these go through, is sort of a canary in the coal mine. We're revealing a lot of the emerging and frankly dangerous dark sides of these projects that are presented as green. And in fact, we're seeing massive and irreversible harm to the natural environment, wildlife and habitat, and even human health. We're seeing cancer around some of these things in places where there's stray voltage 1,000 times normal coming up through the ground and into people's houses. That's scary stuff.
So who is the World Council for Nature?
They have a mission to defend nature against aggression from man, as they call it. The mission statement reads, "The world has entered a phase of accelerated destruction where traditional ecologists are no longer holding natural habitats and biodiversity as their first concern. Politics and money have corrupted the ecology movement, and most environmentalists today endorse the destruction of more nature in order to save the planet. The World Council for Nature denounces this perversion and will defend nature as its number one priority. Politics and money have corrupted the ecological movement, the group contends, and there is a need for fresh air." And incidentally, it turns out that a lot of the same problems that we're seeing here with these big projects are happening actually in communities around the world, and a lot of those communities have formed organizations that are now members of the World Council for Nature to try to draw attention on a global basis to what's happening.
So where can people get some more information?
Well, for more information on the World Council for Nature, you can visit their website at www.wcfn.org. That's World Council for Nature. And for more information on some of these issues at East County Magazine, you can take a look at articles we've done in our Green Living section at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
Well, thank you, Miriam Raftery, for that.
This is Miriam Raftery reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ. In her State of the County address, Supervisor Diane Jacob, the new chairwoman of the Board of Supervisors, announced that the county has saved nearly $2 million a year by buying 90% of its electricity from sources other than SDG&E. She said, "The problem is that consumers don't have the same right. You can't shop around like the county. But if it's good enough for government, it should be good enough for you." And then she declared support for a community choice aggregation to give consumers new choices in where to buy electric power. Now, under the program, communities such as San Diego can band together to buy and sell electricity on behalf of ratepayers through a publicly owned system. Power would be delivered through the grid, but could come from places outside of SDG&E. "That would spur competition and, we expect, drive down rates," said Jacob, adding that she wants the board to bring our consumer energy market out of the dark ages. Supervisor Jacob, who represents East County, also vowed to take a fresh approach to reviving agricultural entrepreneurs. "I've got three words for you," she said, "bees, beer, and burgundy." Just as the county eased rules to encourage winemaking and horse stables, now Jacob aims to relax rules on beekeeping in unincorporated areas and make it easier to open a microbrewery. "The way Julian is known for its apple pies, the backcountry should be known for its brews," she resolved. Now, she also said it's important to remember what makes San Diego special and build on that, too. Our parks and hiking paths, our backcountry, and our beaches. This year, the county will acquire 300 acres of open space, and it's working on a new equestrian center in Lakeside. Supervisor Jacob quipped, "As a longtime horse lover, I can't wait to saddle up on that one." On a more serious note, she noted that revelations of abuse and neglect at local care facilities for the elderly are shocking. One elderly man in a local facility fell on the floor and suffered a serious injury. He was not found by staff until 2 days later, and he was dead. The number of people age 75 or older is due to triple by 2030 in our region. But the state stripped funding from a program that has helped the county provide oversight. So Supervisor Jacobs said she'll ask the board to fully restore local program funding. She applauded legislators in Sacramento for introducing several bills to improve state oversight and care of these facilities. In addition, she's working with assisted living homes to devise a rating standard that can guide consumers, and she's also worked with the district attorney to form a special prosecution unit to crack down on facilities that violate the law. Alzheimer's disease has reached epidemic levels in San Diego County and is now the third leading cause of death in our county. Plus, it's forecast to double in the future. But this month, neuroscientists from across the nation are launching what may be the most ambitious attempt yet to find a treatment for Alzheimer's, Supervisor Jacob revealed. Researchers are using volunteers to test a drug that attacks a protein implicated in Alzheimer's. The National Clinical Trial seeks patients 65 or older to participate in the study, and you can participate by contacting BrainLink at ucsd.edu, Supervisor Jacobs said. She also voiced concern over state realignment that's shifting state prisoners into county jails, calling the program a mess. In response, the county is adding 400 jail beds this year and also opening new sheriff substations in Rancho San Diego, Lakeside, and Pine Valley. Rehabilitation programs are also being improved. Jacob cited sex trafficking in our region as a growing concern and said the county is going to press its case in Sacramento, asking legislators and the governor to enact a bill that will put teeth into efforts to crack down on pimping by gangs. Public safety has grown from a fourth of the county's budget 10 years ago to a third of the budget today, largely due to the threat of wildfires. Next year, the county plans to wrap up the last phase in its effort to consolidate many rural fire departments. Jacob warned, "We've seen some brutal fire seasons in our county. We'll see others. When they strike, we need to make sure we've done all we can to protect people and property." To reduce worker compensation claims, the county is going to be implementing a program similar to one in Reno that offers specialized health services for police officers and other first responders with a goal of reducing their risk of heart attack. The program could save over $1 billion in medical claims while also saving lives. The total county budget for this year is $5 billion. Supervisor Jacob praised the county's efforts to pay for capital projects in cash wherever possible, a move that has saved taxpayers huge sums in interest and helped the county retain its AAA credit rating. She also said that county construction projects have created jobs and helped the county dig its way out of recession. "We have too much to do on so many fronts," Supervisor Jacob concluded, "on energy, on public safety, on the economy, and now, even more, on aging. Now is our moment to act. Now is the time to take on our next great challenge."
John Henry was a little baby sitting on his papa's knee, and he picked up a hammer and a little piece of steel, cried, "A hammer's gonna be the death of me, Lord, Lord. Hammer's gonna be the death of me," cried, "A hammer's gonna be the death of me. Hammer's gonna be the death of me." Now the captain, he said to John Henry, "I'm gonna bring that steam drill around. I'm gonna bring that steam drill out on the job. I'm gonna whop that steel on down, down, down. Whop that steel on down. I'm gonna whop that steel on. Gonna whop that steel on." John Henry told his captain, "Lord, a man ain't nothing but a man. But before I'd let your steam drill beat me down, I would die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my I would die with a hammer in my hand.
This is Leon Thompson reporting for KNSJ Radio. Legendary folk singer, activist, environmentalist, leftist, songwriter, and troubadour extraordinaire Pete Seeger passed away on Monday, January 27, 2014. KNSJ Executive Director Martin Eder wrote this tribute for us to read in Seeger's honor. The weekend before Seeger's passing, KNSJ held a tribute concert to Pete Seeger, thanks to our invitation of George Mann, who joined us in this musical retrospective celebration of his life. We may have been the last sing-along event of Pete's songs while he was still alive. As part of the audience, we were uplifted by his spirit and words. If I had a hammer, I'd sing it in the morning. I'd sing it in the evening all over this land. It's a song of justice. It's a song of freedom. It's a song of love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. All over this land. On January 28th, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Spent the bulk of the broadcast celebrating the life and contributions of Pete Seeger and his cultural activism. Listeners were reminded just how important the programming of our new community radio station is to our values and our information, knowing that KNSJ is the only local station to be honoring Pete Seeger today. This tribute is but one of a thousand reasons why we need a strong and vibrant and culturally poignant people-powered radio. You can listen to the podcast on democracynow.org, including interviews with Pete Seeger and a video of him in concert. Just a week before, Activist San Diego and KNSJ spent the evening at the Joyce Beers Community Center highlighting the importance that culture plays in building a social movement for social justice. Pete Seeger's life is the embodiment of what it means to be a tribune of the people, a transformer of the existing social order with an undying optimism that we shall overcome someday. In an interview with Amy Goodman, Pete said that we often look and feel that our small efforts are futile. But when hundreds and thousands of us each pick up a tool and chip away at the barriers to social progress, mountains can be moved. As Pete Seeger lays down his banjo at the age of 94, may hundreds of us stand up to take his place and sustain a cultural, educational, and social movement with the same love, optimism, and conviction that he embodied throughout nearly a century of activism. With love from all of us, Pete Seeger, presente.
John Henry hammered in the mountains. His hammer was striking fire. But he worked so hard, it broke his poor heart. And he laid down his hammer and he died. He laid down his hammer and he died. He laid down his hammer and he died, Lord, Lord. He laid down his hammer and he died. Now John Henry had a little woman. Her name was Polly Ann. John Henry took sick and had to go to bed. And Polly Ann drove steel like a man, Lord, Lord. Polly Ann drove steel like a man. I said, Polly Ann drove steel like a... Polly Ann drove steel like a man. So every Monday morning, when the bluebird began to sing, you can hear John Henry a mile or more. You can hear John Henry's hammer ring. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer ring. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer. You can hear John Henry's hammer ring.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Now, straight from the headlines, we bring you the latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, The Scanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. And I'm delighted today to welcome to our show Martin Eder, who is the Executive Director of Activist San Diego and Acting Station Manager for KNSJ. But really, he's the vision and the power behind the founding of our radio station, KNSJ. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here with you.
For those readers that aren't familiar with the whole history of this, how long has this radio station been a dream of yours, and how did it all get started?
I worked in community radio when I was right out of college. I worked for KCFR and became the news director there, so I've always had my thoughts, my hopes in being able to do and work in media, and I went on to be the news director at KBDI TV 12 in Denver.
That's wonderful experience.
But it's not a profession where you can easily get a job, or very few paid positions, right, and things like that. So I did all kinds of other work, and it wasn't until I finished kind of my teaching career that I luckily ran across the notice that the FCC had opened up the radio spectrum for new non-commercial educational radio stations.
Right. And this was really the last FM license, they were saying, that would be given out maybe ever in San Diego. So that must have been really competitive. How many others were vying for that same bit of bandwidth?
Actually, we applied for two different stations, Descanso being the one that we got, and the one that's been up on the air since July 4th of this year. The other in Ramona that's been hung up by the FCC, and we have been...
That's on Los Coyotes Peak, right?
Los Coyotes, Indian Reservation, Hot Springs Mountain up in 6,700 feet. And
nice.
If we ever do get that, it will be the first solar and wind-powered radio station in the state of California.
Oh, that's very exciting.
So we're continuing to work on trying to increase on that, and things are still there for us. But 89.1 Descanso, serving the San Diego border region, is something that took us 6.5 years from application to construction. And luckily, they had depoliticized the process a number of years ago, and it was based on a point system and technical qualifications. And we had a wonderful radio engineer who has worked with a lot of community radio stations who put us in one of the most difficult locations, but figuring that with some one way or another, we were going to make the thing work. And by the skin of our teeth, we were able to get it done within the FCC guidelines at great difficulty. And we're just delighted that what came out of that effort was a signal that though small, can be heard everywhere from Torrey Pines State Beach all the way to Imperial Beach, and probably 200,000 to 300,000 people in Tijuana.
Yeah, that's huge. It was just a wonderful surprise at how far that signal is going. Now, tell us a little bit about the vision behind the station, Martin. I know that Activist San Diego, for those who aren't familiar with it, is an umbrella group that has, as members, many different activist groups, everything from environmental groups to peace groups to groups that are fighting for, you know, all kinds of different causes. What is the sort of the mission statement behind the station?
Well, starting with Activist San Diego, which was founded on Earth Day in 2009, set out to be a network for social justice. And by social justice, we meant any one of the numerous causes of human rights, civil rights, women's rights, immigrant rights, educational equality, all of the things that kind of progress a society towards more equity within the society, more access, all with the underlying theme of emboldening our democracy and citizen participation. So we call ourselves an information, communications, and mobilization network. So when the opportunity for a radio station came up, we did not think that we would end up or wanted to end up to be the license holder, but definitely wanted to help others in the community to do so. Yeah. And we gathered, as you say, a coalition of people make the application jointly. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, having a bit more of a structure, even though we were a very small and underfunded community organization, it was Activist San Diego that ended up being able to shepherd the about 500-step process to get the radio station going, 500 milestones, tremendous technical issues and financial issues to be able to do that. And so the mission of community radio station is to give voice to the voiceless, is to be able to provide an opportunity that has not been available to those who seek airtime on commercial radio,
right,
where you basically have to pay to get your message out. Yeah. And so we want to be that part of the spectrum that allows new voices in there and community voices,
well,
grassroots voices.
Wonderful goal. We're all so glad that it's been successful. Now, let's talk a little bit about the programming. Like all new stations, of course, the programming is evolving. You launched it on July 4th, Independence Day, independent media for our region.
Exactly.
Tell us about some of the programming that's been recently added and what else might be coming down the pike, both local programming and also some nationally syndicated shows.
So right now, I would say, coin the term that we are on KNSJ version 1.1, and we're only 5% of what we would like to be. We have a lot of nationally syndicated programs that do not require much on our end. Most notably, Amy Goodman, Juan Gonzalez, Democracy Now! Is on 7 to 8 a.m. in the morning, and also 6 to 7 in the evening. A wonderful, wonderful, deeply enriching program that does investigative reporting on other parts of the news. And I often say, if you are not listening to Democracy Now!, you really lose perspective on what it is that's happening in our country and around the world.
Yeah, she has some amazing stories on that program. Now, you also have some environmental shows, some Native American programming, which would be of interest to our many Native American tribal members out here in East County. What are some of those programs, and when can people tune in to hear them?
You mentioned environmental programs. We are running Sierra Club's weekly focus. It goes very much along with many of what we want to do, and that is believing that an informed community is an engaged community. We want citizens to get involved in things. And groups like the Sierra Club don't just put out information about some of the environmental degradation, but actually give people an opportunity to get involved, not just with their organizations, but with other. We have other programs on the environmental thing. EcoShock is a particularly good one. We have several science programs that are quite engaging, big science. And some of the other notable large programs, well known, I think you're very much familiar with Tom Hartman.
Yes.
Tom Hartman is nationally syndicated on, several hundred stations, but nobody in San Diego had covered. Just like Democracy Now! On 500 stations, we are the first local station to air. Amy Goodman, we were the largest city in the United States to not have Democracy Now.
Wow, and so you
filled
that
void. And
when
you hear it, you'll recognize, okay, this is information that I definitely have been missing, and I'm enriched by it.
Right. And then the Native American programming, tell us about that.
NV1, which is the national network of 300 stations, mm-hmm. has a series of programs. Native American Calling is a live call-in show on Native American issues. It's every day, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. coming out of Albuquerque. Today they were talking about hunting on the reservations. Other times it's education or jobs, cultural enrichment, mm-hmm. all of those preservation, mm-hmm. all of those things are
very important.
Very, very important, I guess, in terms of Native American, you know, particularly here in San Diego County with more Indian reservations than any other county in the United
States.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yes.
What other shows do you think our listeners would like to hear about, Martin?
We do have a number of shows produced right here. Vincent Farnsworth with the Local Media Monitor listening in on other radio stations and
great.
giving a very interesting look at some of the facts presented there and challenging some of those points of view from a very intelligent position. Jason Smothers has a show called The 99% Show, looking at the class divide in the United States. And with that lens, taking a look at the world and what's happening locally. We're pleased to announce that we are going to be beginning a show with Mike Aguirre.
Oh, my.
And
former city
attorney. Several of those have been. Mike Aguirre is a person with extraordinary insights into how the city works. He is a lawyer and a muckraker.
What would be the
candidate for mayor? You know, but now that he's not a candidate,
very colorful character.
We can have him on the radio.
So will it be a political talk show or analysis, or what will it be?
It's going to be news and analysis, but very much talking about what's going on behind the scenes, who's pulling the strings.
So focus on San Diego politics.
Yes, very much, and local and regional. Based, and he's doing that together with Douglas Holbrook.
Right. Now, I understand that Adam Tinkle still has a show on the air also that's based right here in East County in Descanso, correct?
Yes. Adam Tinkle lives in Descanso, teaches at UCSD as well, and he has a show called Unrestricted Air Space, and it is a bit of local news from the Descanso region together with some old-time radios and his love for music. It's a very interesting combination. We hope to get a lot more community news from places like Descanso.
Very good. Well, I'm certainly impressed with what a engaging mix of programming the stations have been able to accomplish in really such a short time. It's only been on the air 6 months, so that's really something to be commended.
And I think in the next month or so, I hope that we're going to have KNSJ 2.0 fill in many of the gaps. You know, I've got to, in some ways, almost apologize to some of our listeners that we have not filled in some of the areas that now have musical assortments that I don't think is the essence of what this station is. I mean, we definitely are going to have many locally produced music shows and want very much to make culture.
And it takes time. I know you took time, for instance, to get the license to be able to play music that's, you know, copyrighted music and the permissions and everything that are needed. So these are all things that are kind of growing pains. But if you look at even NPR, KPBS, and you look at what they were like in the early days, it's nothing at all like what they eventually grew into. So, you know, that's a point well taken.
Yes, we are still a toddler's, barely out of our diapers, and we really need people in the community. This is a time, and we'll do it again more. We want people to be engaged. This is grassroots radio. We are all volunteer operation at this point. If you are listening and you have any interest in producing, helping, technical or otherwise, and we definitely have a lot of need for people with technical expertise.
What about underwriting?
Underwriting, you know, the finances are a big thing. You mentioned the $2,500, $2,800 that we ended up spending just to be able to play music on the station.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hidden costs that I think the average listener may not be aware of. And, you know, it's great to have all volunteers, but you can't pay the rent with, you know, sweat equity.
Yeah, with our ongoing expenses are
studio
$2,000 to $2,500 a month. For a small organization like this, for a community-based radio station, is just getting up. After we spent $40,000 on equipment and other services that we had to do.
Speaking of which, tell us about the new studio now. Our listeners may be excited to know that there's a radio studio coming to downtown El Cajon.
It is there. All of the essentials of the studio at 270 East Douglas are there and will be open to the community very shortly for citizen producers, for those interested, and at some point even to rent out to local people who want to do recording as
That's
well.
Great.
But that main studio in the East County Business Center.
East County Business Center. There
at just in the downtown of El Cajon is readily accessible, wheelchair accessible, and we will be doing live shows from that. Our next step of programming KNSJ 2.0 is going to have live people during drive times to bring us some of the local news, traffic, and as you asked about underwriting. Underwriting is the way that nonprofit radio does what advertising does, and that is to associate your company with a product and information that listeners feel that they want to support. And for relatively small amounts of money by the standards of commercial radio, you, your organization, your business can be an underwriter of shows, the shows that you really love and support. So if it is Native American Colin or Amy Goodman or the Tom Hartman, and you want to underwrite and be associated with the,
listeners,
absolutely. And so all of that is there, and it's an opportunity for us to give to the community and the community give to us in their donations.
Wonderful. Now, you have a very exciting event coming up that's the People's Ball, and this is a way that the community can turn out and support the radio station and also have a lot of fun and meet some wonderful people. Tell us about when and where that's going to be and some of the details.
The People's Ball has a genesis for 10 years going back. We've had some amazingly good keynote speakers and up to 750 people attending the People's Ball. The name People's Ball comes from kind of an affordable way for people to get together in a very gala event.
Yes.
This year, March 15th, at the 2100 Park Boulevard, which is the World Beat Center, we will be having our gala event. Doors are going to be open at 6:30. We have a wonderful band in the Guinness Book of Records as the world's most traveled band, Liquid Blue.
Wow.
That has played for audiences of 65,000 people. It has played in more countries than any other band in the world as it's traveled. Very, very professional.
What
Liquid
type of music?
Blue. They play a mix of rock, soul, blues, oldies, and it's very much message music, very much along the issue of
dancing
international and peace. They have good singers, excellent, fabulous singers, Nikki.
So you can come out and listen
Nikki
to the music,
Green,
dance. There's a dance floor down there, right?
Yes.
Food.
So that there will be food available for purchase. The People's Ball, if you buy tickets in advance, they are $25, $30 at the door. You can buy tables for your groups and organizations, and it is a wonderful, wonderful event. And we expect to have a wonderful surprise, both MC and keynote speaker. Not all confirmed, so I won't put any of that down.
Well, we're
People's Ball, 15th of March. Find the details at activistsandiego.org, or most importantly, please log into knsj.org. And KNSJ, by the way, if it might help you remember, is Networking for Social Justice.
That's right. And that's at 89.1 FM,
yeah.
Descanso. And I assume you can find the programming and details on all the programming, the People's Ball, and if you want to donate or underwrite, all that information is there as well.
Yes, absolutely. So that is your point of contact. We want to hear from people who are listening right now. Send us an email at info@knsj.org. Give us your opinions, positive, negative, suggestions, whatever. We want to hear from you and reflect your opinions.
Very good. Well, Martin, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ. And we are really looking forward to seeing where this station is going down the road. I'm very excited. I wish we could look in our crystal ball and see the future.
Well, thank you very much. And for your involvement in East County Magazine's connection has been important to us to fill that, and you have helped in ever so many ways with fundraising and content and helping us get on our feet. And there's room, you know, the main message, there is room for a lot of people to put their energies and to see this as your community radio station. If you're out there, if you never thought about it, we will help train you to get involved and to be able to give a voice to others. And if not you, certainly, you know, help us build the station so that those other new voices can be heard.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week.
This is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting this week's Destination East County. The San Diego County Library Acoustic Showcase's Winter Series continues in February with 7 concerts taking place throughout the month, including East County performances in Rancho San Diego, El Cajon, and Lemon Grove. The Acoustic Showcase series offers a wonderful variety of some of San Diego's very best singers, songwriters, folk music performers, and storytellers. These concerts are free to the community. To date, over 12,000 people have attended them. You can get more details in the arts and music section at eastcountymagazine.org. The rock band Blue Oyster Cult is in concert on Friday, January 31st at 8 o'clock at Saquon Casino in El Cajon. And then on Sunday, February 2nd, country western singer Ricky Skaggs performs at Saquon. Tony Cummins performs at Hooley's Irish Pub and Grill on Hamasha Road in Rancho San Diego Friday, January 31st. Meanwhile, at other Hooley's locations in La Mesa and Grossmont Center, the Brothers Gal perform the same Friday evening, January 31st at 8 o'clock, for a show of acoustic, funk, and rock music. A Gal performance combines the band's energetic stage presence with a light show. Audio Culture and San Diego State's A.B. Samahan will team up on Saturday, February 1st from 6 to 9 o'clock at the Joan B. Kroc Theater on University Avenue near La Mesa to raise money for the thousands of Philippine victims of Super Typhoon Haiyan. You can get more information on that at the Joan Kroc Theater website. Muevete Dance Studio on Main Street in Lemon Grove will present a children's dance production with a few adults as well called Florio, a dance theater production for all ages, on Saturday, February 1st at 4 o'clock. Beauty surrounds a young girl as with each ruffle twirling her first skirt, she shares lessons about the circle of life, hope, and joy. In addition, another Zapateado will be performed by Ballet Folklorico in Aztlan on February 9th at 2 o'clock at the Muevete Dance Studio. These monthly free half-hour presentations provide information about the sampler or cuadro of dances performed, usually from one of the 32 regions of Mexico, in each performance. The Julian Doves and Desperados are in town each Sunday in Julian, weather permitting, from noon to 4 o'clock. They perform historic comedy and gunfight skits at their stage area located between the Julian Fitness Center and the Julian Market at Deli at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. The Hakumba Hikers will be hitting the trail this Saturday for an extreme hike to the Painted Gorge and Carrizo Mountains in the Anza-Borrego Desert. Heat and movement over time have created fantastic shapes and colors as the sun illuminates and plays shadows on this geologic wonder. The 10-mile hike starts at 8 a.m. at the Imperial Valley Museum. A new Art in the Park exhibit runs through the month of February at Mission Trails Regional Park in San Carlos. Mark Catane will be exhibiting his photography, and award-winning oil painter Vanessa Ruschek will be exhibiting her oil paintings at the Visitor Center Art Gallery at One Father Junipero Serra Trail. The public is cordially invited to a reception in honor of Ruschek on Sunday, February 9th from 1 to 4 o'clock. Another art exhibit in East County is being held over throughout the month of February. An American Family, The Art of Kathleen Strzelecki, will be held over in the Lemon Grove Library on School Lane in Lemon Grove. Emotional power, psychological intensity, and elegant portraits of children are features of her dramatic series of large-scale works that speak directly to the viewer. Speaker Nicholas Clapp will give a presentation about Ubar and Ophir, discovering lost cities of the desert, at the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center. This event is sponsored by the Anza-Borrego Desert Natural History Association and will be held on January 31st at 7:30 p.m. Seating is limited. The female pop rock duo, The Lovebirds, featuring Lindsay Wyde and Veronica May, will perform at the Rancho San Diego Library in El Cajon on February 1st at 6:30. A live performance by The Lovebirds is a tornado of sights and sounds, which may include bow ties, mustaches, percussive guitar, rock ukulele, glockenspiel, melodica, kazoos, stand-up drum kits, and harmonicas. Admission is free. The Water Conservation Garden on the campus of Cuyamaca College in El Cajon is offering two gardening workshops on Saturday, February 1st from 10 o'clock to noon. Those interested can choose Toss the Turf, a workshop to learn the variety of ways to remove your turf once and for all in this drought, and what to do with your yard once the turf is gone. You must register in advance at thegarden.org. The other choice is a free home compost workshop, also on Saturday, from 10 o'clock to noon, where participants can learn basics of composting, how to compost with worms, and how to save in the process. This free workshop at the garden is presented by the Solana Center for Environmental Innovation. Compost bins will be on sale with subsidized rates if you live in the unincorporated areas of the county. This workshop is limited to 20 participants. You can register at solanacenter.org. The play Annie goes on stage during the weekend of Friday, February 14th, just in time for Valentine's Day, and for the following two weekends. Performed by the Christian Youth Theater with such songs as Tomorrow and It's a Hard Knock Life, this production of Annie is appropriate for the entire family. The cast and crew of this musical features students from across San Diego County ages 8 to 18 years. The performances will be held at the Greenfield Middle School on Greenfield Drive in El Cajon. That's all for this week. You can find details on these events and many more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section and our arts and music section at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Our Destination East County segment is made possible by a community enhancement grant from the County of San Diego.
See you around, East County.
This is Leon Thompson with the sports report for East County Magazine. The San Diego State junior Haley Miles has been named to the 2014 USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year watch list. The Amateur Softball Association of America and USA Softball announced it's the second straight season that Miles made the list. Miles is one of only two Aztecs to ever be named to the preseason watch list, and she's done so now for her second year in a row. Miles already owns four San Diego State career records after just two seasons, including a batting average of .389, an on-base percentage of .492, and a whopping .738 slugging percentage. The top 25 finalists for the 2014 USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year Award will be announced April 9th and on May 27th, prior to the start of the 2014 NCAA Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. The 2014 USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year will be revealed. The Aztec softball team advanced to the NCAA tournament in 2013 for the sixth consecutive year, setting a school record. The Aztecs also captured the team's sixth Mountain West title and second straight league championship. On February 6, the team will open its 2014 season squaring off against Arizona State.
Coming up next, the Chaldean Corner on East County Magazine's radio show, bringing you news for and about our region's Iraqi Chaldean community.
This is Miriam Raftery with some news from our Chaldean community in East County. At St. Peter's Cathedral in El Cajon, parishioners are celebrating news that Pope Francis has assigned a titular see of Forziana to Bishop Bawai Soro for his service of the Diocese of St. Peter the Apostle of San Diego for Chaldeans and Assyrians. This culminates an eight-year process since Bishop Jamo received Bishop Soro, his clergy, and thousands of their Assyrian Christian faithful into the Catholic Church. Bishop Soro was born in Kirkuk, Iraq, in 1954. He was ordained a priest in the Assyrian Church of the East and consecrated a bishop in 1984. Later, he converted to Catholicism and joined the Chaldean Catholic Church in 2008, and the next year he decided to make San Diego his permanent home. The diocese has issued a statement proclaiming, "Pope Francis has proven himself to be an integral part of the ever-growing Catholic Church. We are incredibly humbled by his recognition and appointment." The diocese also indicated it hopes this will be yet another beginning in the bishop's effort at achieving unity amongst all Catholics.
Mark Arabo, President and CEO of the Neighborhood Market Association, which represents many Iraqi Chaldean business owners here, called the appointment a day of celebration and unity for the 60,000 Chaldeans and San Diego's Catholics. He concluded, "I am excited to join a celebration that will place the Chaldean and Assyrian Church atop a world stage. The bishop's appointment is a testament to the tireless work of both himself and his congregation."
This is Leon Thompson with the Health Report for East County Magazine. Coronary artery disease is the number one killer of men in America and the second most deadly disease for women. Sometimes the first symptom of coronary artery disease is sudden death. For those who are experiencing the excruciating pain of a heart attack, time is of the essence. Doctors say you have about 90 minutes before irreversible damage is done to the heart muscle. Sharp Grossmont Hospital in La Mesa last year treated 2,230 patients who suffered from serious heart problems. I was one of those patients. I was privileged to visit Grossmont Hospital's $6 million hospital surgical room. The new $6 million cardiac catheterization laboratory, or cath lab, is a state-of-the-art room that increases the hospital's capacity to manage patients with life-threatening conditions within 50 minutes on average. Oh, did I mention that I visited Grossmont's $6 million room as a patient? The way it works is by threading a flexible tube through a large artery into the heart, more specifically into the blocked arteries feeding oxygen-rich blood to the heart muscle. The catheter can contain a small balloon, which, when inflated, can open a suddenly blocked artery. In my case, tests led to a quintuple heart bypass surgery that saved my life. The good news is that I've got a brand new rebuilt heart, and I'm already walking at least a mile every day, and it's only been 3 weeks since my surgery. My advice to you is if you're having chest pains or other signs of heart problems, don't wait. Go to the ER right away.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show: Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.